Still kicking it, still strong.
So I've now began to embrace fall. I wasn't really embracing it before.
Okay. What changed your mind, yo?
I think the temperature, like, it's just been like so nice and mild, right? And I'm like, you know what? It's not like when you transition smoothly, like when you get hit in the face with a blizzard, then it's like, I don't like this. I don't like what's happening.
Well, wait until that real fall hits.
But right now, it's such a, like a mild fall, you get a nice breeze in the evening,
a
little light jacket at night. Like, you know what? There's room for this. I've always expressed that I ride for pumpkin. So like the pumpkin spice and the pumpkin munchkins.
Are you rocking your earth tones right now? Do you change
I'm not that person.
Your wardrobe?
I'm not that person. And you know, I have an issue with those type of people, actually.
Really?
I do. I think it's weird. Like,
tell them how you really feel.
Like people who dress like their color palette and reflects the season. I think that's strange. And I mean the whole season, not like,
let me take my brown jacket off.
I'm not saying that, but if you're only wearing browns, nudes, and burgundies for the next 3 months, I think like that's a bit extreme. What's winter colors in? White and beige?
Yo, who thinks like this, though?
This is what I'm saying.
Who thinks it is weird? Like, who even analyzes that people do this?
People do this.
Yeah?
It's a problem.
Weirdos.
You know, it's not.
I've never
embrace
noticed.
All colors. But... all colors at all times.
So do you wear white after Labor Day?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I'm thinking about wearing white.
Winter white or like white?
I don't even know what that means. You mean beige?
Yeah, winter white is beige, I think.
All the whites.
Yeah,
that's not even a thing for me. I don't embrace it.
You don't dress more vividly in the spring and summer?
More vividly? You mean from a color perspective?
Yeah, brighter colors. You don't wear that in the summer?
Probably, but not because summer clothes are brighter, potentially. I don't know.
Yeah, like, so you're one of those weirdos.
No, I'm not. Like if it's a bright winter coat that I like, bring on the yellow winter coat. Okay. So, all
right.
No color shaming here.
All right. Big shout to the fashion advice that we give out on Momentum Advisors.
No fashion advice. Just don't be weird.
Okay.
That's it.
Speaking of don't be weird.
Don't be weird.
So I gave my godson the advice the other day.
Oh, my God.
At a bar.
We don't even. This could be. This is going
to. I said, yo, there's some nice young ladies. Why don't you go up to them?
Alan.
Introduce yourself.
Alan was already outvoted about this topic.
And offer to buy him a drink. Like, what's wrong with that? I got.
The entire
clowned
firm,
all day.
The entire firm has voted you out of this. This could be a show within itself.
I think that's a great way to meet people. So
yeah, sure.
So listen to that advice, dating advice from the Momentum Advisors.
Just from Alan Boomer.
That's vintage.
No
game right there.
No. Mm-mm.
Tweet us if there is a modern way to approach an actual human being at a bar.
Yeah. Without buying them a drink.
What would you suggest for the gentleman
the thing,
to do today?
As we mentioned earlier today, buying a woman a drink is for a woman of a certain demographic.
Okay?
Millennials, Xennials, whatever they're called, they're not doing that.
Okay.
It's not, there's too much roofying happening. There's too much going on.
Well, it's a good thing I'm out the game because I think that's a very nice way to approach a young lady.
Yeah, in your demographic, it's suitable.
Yeah, very
in other demographics, it's not suitable.
Okay.
So we're just going to leave that alone. That's not what we're talking about. And we're not going to go down this rabbit hole. Today we are talking about, matter of fact, maybe that's what we are talking about. We are talking about predators. Predators at bars. Predators who buy you drinks.
Get out of here.
We're specifically talking about financial predators. But Alan Deere rolled us into predatory behavior depending
on
your demographic.
Predatory. That's gentlemanship.
Depending on your demographic and your location. We're specifically talking about buying drinks at a bar. So not at a restaurant, but at a bar. You're just, some chick is at the bar and you just walk up and buy her a drink. Again, this is not a Tyler Perry movie. Mm. And for certain demographics, it's not suitable. The younger kids are not into this.
Okay, fine.
That's all I'm saying.
So what are we talking about
today? We are talking about financial predators.
And haters, too.
Listen, keep buying drinks. Buy all the drinks you want.
No, I'm out the game. All I'm just trying to encourage my godson.
Stop trying to encourage a 21-year-old boy who just got his first job. He is a man who just got his first job to start buying strangers drinks at bars.
I did offer to pay. I was like, yo, put it on my card.
That's not the point. He's trying to set a standard.
I'm a good godfather.
Yeah. Okay. Either way, financial predators.
Yes.
Right? And financial predators come in all forms, all sizes, all shapes. And sometimes you guys don't really notice them. Some are very like blatant. Others, not so much.
Yeah.
And we are always considered the bad guys because we call them out. So I guess we're just going to keep doing what we always do. We're going to actually call out what we consider to be or can be financial predators.
Yo, there are some bad guys out there.
There are a lot of bad guys, especially when it comes to getting money out of your pocket, out of your bank account. Bad guys, there are several types of bad guys.
Yo, there are villains out there. And I guess that makes us the superheroes for outing them.
Are we? We're not. Because we're not stopping them. We're just outing them. So yeah. We're kind of like tattletales? Snitches.
No.
Financial snitches is what we are. We're a financial snitch.
I'm kind of Captain America
now. You're not stepping in and saving anyone's bank account.
I think we actually
are. You're just telling and then walking away.
Fine.
We are your financial snitch.
Oh, my God. I think we're financial superheroes with limited ability to actually completely protect you because you got to use your own inner superpowers.
Digital hero. How about we're financial digital heroes?
I'll take it. Okay. I'll take it. So let's talk about some of these predators, some of these organizations, companies, industries that are stealing our money right underneath our eyes.
So I'm just going to say off top, like some of these, when we say some of these things, you're going to like clutch your pearls. You're going to be offended. You're probably going to have used at least one of these at some point in time, right? And so maybe it worked out for you. We're not saying that every single situation is predatory, but we are saying the nature of this specific industry, it is predatory, and a lot of people get scammed out of their money.
Yeah. The first one is check cashing businesses. These are businesses that are designed to just take little bits of your money.
Right.
And it adds up to lots of bits of your money.
Now, you might not consider it a scam because you know up front how much money that they're taking from you. You've agreed to it. Mm-hmm. But it's a scam in that, like, you can get your money in other ways and you are giving up your money out of desperation. Like, typically when people go to check cashing places, it's because they don't have a bank account or they're not in good standing at a bank.
Or sometimes it's just misinformation. It's like a distrust of the financial system. I've seen
that. So you're going to trust somebody in the back of a liquor store?
Like, yo, they want cash. I can walk in there, get my check cash. Like, I've seen my dad do it. I've seen my uncles do it. Like, there's certain things in our community that are just endemic to who we are. Like, that's our orientation towards the financial system.
I'm not embracing that's a part of our community.
It's a part. I'm not saying
I went to a check cashing place in college because I didn't want my parents to know that I had some money. Like, you know, when you're hiding, when you're trying to sneak, be desperate, when you're in these like peculiar situations, I think that's when you use a check cashing place.
Sometimes the check cashing place is a reputable business like a Walmart.
Okay.
Right? They'll hit you for $3 for a $100 check. That's a 3% fee. Like, that adds up to significant money.
Right. And so while we are calling it a scam, it's because, again, it is taking money out of your pocket that doesn't necessarily have to come out of your pocket. You could go to a bank. There are other institutions that you can go to and not have to pay to get your check cashed. But these people are charging you your money, your hard-earned money, just to give you cash when that's not the standard way of practice.
Check cashing businesses make over $100 billion a year. There's over 6,500 of these businesses in the country. They also do things like provide money orders, utility bill payments, and things like that. And it's an industry that's taking money that they really don't deserve, frankly, because if you just had a bank account, and by the way, there are something like 25 million households in this country that don't have bank accounts.
That's crazy.
But if you had a bank account, or if you went to the bank where the check was drawn.
That's what I want to say. You don't even have to have a bank account to cash a check.
You go to the bank where the check was drawn and they'll do it for free. But if you go to one of these check cashers, or even some banks will hit you for $5 to cash a check.
I don't know those banks.
If you don't have an account. No, that's a fact. So get a bank account. Avoid the check cashing industry.
Okay. This is a scam. Well, this is scam-ish. Pawn shops. I think they're financial predators. Like, I don't want to call these things scams. They are financial predators. They are preying on your money, on your dollars. So more than 30 million people have used pawn shop lending services for an average of about $150. Like, when I think about if I'm willing to give up my stuff I'm gonna let you hold something of value. And y'all talking about $150.
Oh, you best believe it's worth a whole lot more.
Exactly.
Than $150.
Right. And so the reason why we know they are predatory is because they are taking your items that are worth significantly more and giving you pennies on the dollar just so you could hold some money for a little bit of time. And you might come back and be able to get your item out, or you might not be able to, but they will make a lot of money off of you, whether things work out for you or not. Right. And so I think that is predatory when they're taking things that matter to you. They're not giving you anywhere near the value, but they're giving you, again, pennies on the dollar because you need some fast cash real quick. You might come back to be able to retrieve it. You might not. But either way, they have a major, major come up off of you. They've made a lot of money off of you.
Can you make the superhero sound again?
No.
I'm about to out
we're
somebody.
We're out. We're out.
Do. All right. That's mine.
Okay. That's yours.
There's a company called Cash America. They operate nearly 900 check cashing and pawn shop locations across the country. They did over $1 billion in pawn shop loans in Texas alone. That's one state in a recent year. In their annual report, they disclosed that 30% of the people who take out a pawn shop loan never come back, and they sell those items, and half of that company's profit come from selling the items from pawn shop loans.
Yeah. So again, you are getting cash, but you're losing a lot of value. But I also wonder, right? Like, I've never done the pawn shop thing, but I do wonder, like, do people give things that they don't care about picking back up? You know what I mean? Like, I don't think everybody who's dropping something off at a pawn shop necessarily wants that item back or cares to have that item back. Like, if I were to use a pawn shop, I think I would give up something that I don't really care to have back. Like, I just want to keep the money. I don't want to have to come back. And then how does it work, right? Like, when you come back, do you give back the same amount of money that they gave you? Because I have to imagine there's some upcharge.
There's some upcharge.
Right? So I gave you $150, right, for my iPad.
Wedding ring, more likely.
What?
But go on.
What? If you can't give anybody $150 for a wedding ring.
Man.
So I give you my iPad, you give me $150.
Okay.
I have to now give you $250 to get the iPad back?
You damn right.
I almost cursed. Like, that is wrong on all levels. So you're just taking my money, like, going and coming. Like, you know what I mean? Because I don't come back and pick it up and you sell it, you've made a bunch of money off me. You've taken the value of something. And then when I come back, I got to give you significantly more than what I borrowed?
The CEO of Cash America makes over $6 million a year. So he's got to get his paper.
Do you think the CEO of Cash America has any of these items in his home? Like, do you think he comes through, picks off
the top?
And you know what I mean? Like, yo, we got a Rolex down here. You want to come and check it out? I also wonder, what the hell are y'all doing in Texas? Cash America has 260 locations in Texas alone. What is happening?
That's the getting money state.
That y'all, right, clearly it's the not getting money state. It's the need money state.
Yeah.
What's funny. Happening?
So next on the list, overdraft fees.
This now, is a big one. This is huge.
This one is huge.
This is huge.
All banks charge overdraft fees.
Yeah.
Would you believe that overdraft fees just by themselves is a $12 billion industry in 2020 alone?
Yeah, I believe it. Overdraft fees are just disrespectful and egregious.
$12 billion.
Somebody needs to tier out overdraft fees. Like, the fact that if I overdraft by a dollar, you charge me $35. Like, something about that is just extremely wrong. But this is an industry. This is such a profitable industry. Banks are going to do this forever. They don't care about your real situation. They don't care if it was 75 cents. Like, they don't care what's going on. They are going to do these overdraft fees.
So let me give you some stats on overdraft fees. So the average overdraft fee is $24 and some change. And the average overdraft amount is $34. So if you get charged $24 to borrow $34 for 3 days, that's the average amount of time that overdrafts stay outstanding. That's a 17,000% return on investment to that bank.
So that's a 17,000% interest rate.
That's crazy.
So back when I was getting overdraft fees, and everybody has had this experience at least once, I am proud to say I haven't had an overdraft fee in a very long time. But back when I was getting them, I was getting them.
he was riding around
was
and
getting
them.
Okay. I wasn't getting one here and there. Okay. Yeah. They were $35.
Yeah.
And Again, I can't imagine inflation. Like, again, it's been a while.
And they'll charge fees on fees.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, if you went over by a dollar, now you get hit with 35. Now you're over by 36. Next day, another 35.
Or, like, if they process three transactions at one time.
That's 35 times
three. That's 35 times three, just off top, like, fast.
Yeah.
That's 105.
105. Your math is
You bought
quick.
Three sodas. And that cost you $105.
Yeah.
Put them sodas back.
Meanwhile, I just tried to get my godson to buy two drinks at a bar. But I'm wrong. I'm wrong. So going back to overdraft fees, 95% of the people who pay overdraft fees describe themselves as financially vulnerable or just in a bad spot at the time.
Which to me is like makes it worse, right? So like I can understand if it was a mistake, right? But or, you know, you just overlooked how much you had in your account. But when it's somebody who really actually is financially stressed or is having difficulty and your bank knows when you broke, you know what I mean? Like they take advantage of that and they take advantage with no, like there's no grace in any capacity.
Banks know exactly how much money is in your account. They could easily just decline those transactions, but instead they extend credit because they know they're going to get that fee money. And on average, 43% of vulnerable households reported that they had about 10 overdrafts last year.
In 2020.
Those overdrafts cost them an average of $234 a year in fees. And that's money that
you need.
They really need.
$234, that's two bills. That's a cell phone bill and a light bill. Wi-Fi and some groceries. $234?
That's a pair of J's.
Is it? Probably. You know, with sneaker X nowadays, like you got to stock it. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, but that's a nice Roth IRA contribution.
There you go. Now, the thing that the elephant in the room, right? A report finds that Black and Latino Americans pay significantly more in overdraft fees compared to white people. Black households are two times more likely than white households to overdraft their banking accounts.
Yeah, that's...
two times more likely?
Yeah.
Well, you know.
I used to rack up some overdrafts.
But it does show that, like, white people out here getting overdraft too.
Okay. At a lower rate, but
they still getting them. Two to one, I'm not mad at it. If it had been like 11 to one, then we got to like protest. Yeah. But 2 to 1, at least y'all getting them.
17,000% interest on those loans. And shame on the banks. That's $12 billion of our money in the Black and Latin community and white community that's been taken from us.
White people, rise up.
Yeah.
Rise up on these. Oh, y'all the ones. Rise up on these overdraft fees when you're financially vulnerable. Say something. Karen, where are the Karens out here? I've never seen a Karen wild out at the bank over her overdraft fees. And I know Karens get overdraft fees.
Yeah. We need to start a movement.
What's the movement? Stop the overdraft fees?
I think Karen needs to start a movement.
The Karens need to just move. I don't need them to start a movement. Unfortunately, though, like overdraft fees are such a significant part of the banking industry. Like they need them to.
They will shut us down.
Like if they don't get overdraft fees, like y'all ain't getting mortgages. We ain't getting no mortgages.
But can I just?
We ain't getting no business loans.
Throw some shade for a second. All right, these banks are hitting us over the head with overdraft fees.
Yes. Why can't overdraft fees be like $15, $5?
Why can't they just not let your joint go through?
Right,
I would much rather you not let my joint go through.
You out here trying to buy drinks at the bar.
Now, listen,
you definitely don't want them to hit you back with a decline. With that decline, you just let it go. Just let it go through.
If I'm at the bar, that's a different thing. Okay, I'm out the game. But back in those days, yo, there were so many nights I was dead broke and just waiting for my direct deposit to hit so I could close out my tab at the bar.
I used to be very strategic about my overdraft. So if I knew, like, all right, you're going to do some spending, like whatever's about to happen, it's going to happen and your account's going to be overdraft, I would make sure that the last transaction that was going to cause the overdraft, so I would do a bunch of little transactions that would lead up to me decreasing the balance in my bank account. But the last one, I would make sure it's huge.
Mm.
So it's going to overdraft for $35, but it's going to be $500. Like I'm not overdrafting for $2. I'm overdrafting on something big, a bill, something major.
But you notice they don't let you overdraft on the ATM. Why is that?
That's different. That's different.
Because they want you to have goods and services and not cash.
Yeah. But if they did... I don't know. Because you're already paying an ATM fee and you're paying an overdraft fee. It's too much.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, like, if you can avoid overdraft fees, please do so. A lot of times it's just negligence or not paying attention. But when it's in these situations where you know you broke, but you gotta just, you know, bet it on Jesus, yeah, then deal with it. But it is very predatory, and the banking industry relies on it, and they make tons of money off
of it.
Shame
on you.
So we are talking about financial predators.
Dun, 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 dun.
That's some other heroes have that one. Mine was at least more original.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now that's like a villain.
Law and Order.
Law and Order. Okay. Doom, doom. That's Law and Order. Mm. Either way, we'll be back. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
We are talking about financial predators.
Yeah.
And we are hoping to be your digital financial hero.
Superheroes.
Sure.
With superpowers. What would your
superpower?
What would your superpower be if you had superpower?
Teleportation.
Always trying to take mine.
Get places fast.
Always trying to take mine.
Pop in and pop out.
Yeah.
So we all know, I mean, the listeners don't know, but Alan knows I'm like a fast goodbye person. So okay, like on the phone and in person, it's like goodbye click. Like I'm not.
Yeah. Sometimes it's borderline rude.
It's not borderline. Say. Like you people are weird who have to keep saying goodbye multiple times.
See you later. All right. Thanks. It was really nice.
Yeah. What the hell is that? And Alan is that person. I am. Yeah. Goodbye click. It's over.
But
I say
you're
goodbye.
You're the worst on Zooms.
Because we all said goodbye.
Yeah, but they're like goodbye, and you're gone.
Yeah, it's over. Yeah. It's over. I've said my goodbye. I don't want to do it a million times.
Will
so I'm the same
up
way
teleport
in person.
On those people.
Yeah, I'm the same way in person. Like I'm people be like, oh, let's you know, if you're at a party or at an event with someone, they're like, yo, we should dip. I'm like, all right, perfect.
Teleport.
For them, it's like, let me do 2 more laps around. For me, I'm in the car. Like, I'm gone. Goodbye. It's not, I don't leave without saying goodbye, but I say goodbye and that's it. I hit the elevator. It's over.
2 words. I'm gone.
Yeah. So I would teleport.
Okay, fine. So we're talking about financial predators. These are entities, companies, industries that are low key taking your money.
Yeah, that are high key taking your money in your face and are being extremely predatory about it. So the kind of like the obvious one. Payday loans.
Yeah, payday loans is a big one.
People use payday loans over 15 million times a year. Mm. 15 million times a year. So again, I see payday loans as when you're desperate, when yeah, you're in, you know, you don't really have
it's
great credit,
spot.
You're in a tight spot, you don't have time to go through this whole process with the bank and all this other stuff, and you just got to get some money quickly. Payday loans aren't like, you know, mortgages or anything like that. There's hundreds of dollars, kind of like small amounts at extremely high interest rates to supposedly get you over a hump, but they take a lot of your money.
Payday lenders charge interest rates that can approach 391%.
You're bugging.
And the payday loan industry is a $7 billion a year industry. $7 billion.
391%?
Yeah, that's loot. Like you could borrow $300 and have to repay $975.
So like that, as we say, like that's obviously predatory, but you're obviously wilding at the same time. Like maybe you deserve a predator. Like, I don't know. I mean, but to have to pay back almost $1,000 to borrow $300. Again, I see payday loans as things that are for people who are really, really, really in a bind. But I know for a fact there are plenty of people out there who get payday loans just because I want to go to Miami, just because, you know, I want to get the new iPhone or
just wait.
Just
if you
things
can.
That are not worth the amount of money that you are going to get got for just to borrow this little bit amount of money.
That's terrible. Another bad one is car title loans. My family has been victim to this
have
predator.
They?
Yes.
I need to hear about this. I need to hear about what happened with this car title.
First of all, these places are always in the South. I've not seen one of these places in New Jersey. I don't know if they're allowed in our state.
Yeah, there has to be some sort of state regulation around it. Yeah. But there's definitely, because you know, like in Atlanta, in Georgia and Florida, they always got like the commercials with like a R&B singer and a rapper for the car title loan. So you start to trust these people because you know the song so well.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I should go on down to Al's car title.
More than 2 million people a year use auto title loans, and they pay about $3 billion a year in fees. And the average APR is 300%.
So would you get a credit card with a 300% interest rate?
No.
Like?
Absolutely not.
Again, I'm imagining this is happening because you're in an extremely desperate situation. Maybe, like, these things sound like symptoms. Maybe you just got to stop getting in extremely desperate situations.
Yeah. So the average loan in the car title loan industry is less than $1,000. And people are repaying triple that, $3,000. And I'll tell you my story real quick. So my cousin, who shall remain nameless, was in a little bit of a jam, got backed up on a couple things. And the family had given this person a car. And the cousin went and got a title loan to get some cash to do some things. And next thing you know, we're getting a call like, yo, either pay this money back or we're about to sell the car. Like, it's our car. We're coming to get it.
Here's the thing about this anonymous cousin. Y'all should have whooped his ass. Y'all gave him a free car. I thought, like, you know, if this is my car that I've purchased and I can do what I want with it and I'm paying the note or I'm not paying the note, but it's my business. But you mean to tell me somebody gave him a free car?
Yeah.
And he went and got a title loan on the free car?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, that's what's happening, though. Like, it could be somebody's parents' car, right? Like, grandma's car.
What you mean? Like grandma don't know?
Like, if you can get your hands on a title and some ID, you go down to the car title loan place.
And grandma don't even know.
She might not even know. Lord Jesus, you know, got grandma in trouble. Yeah, it's a bad industry.
Either way, like, car title loans are financial predators, right?
And
like,
they're always in our neighborhoods.
Who is our? I ain't no, ain't no title loans.
I hate it.
Places around here.
In the South, they're always
in. We don't live in the South.
When we're in the South, we see them.
When we're in the South.
So
Southern people, I guess they're in y'all's neighborhood.
Yeah.
But either way, they are financial predators. They are preying on you. They are, basically what all these places are doing is they are using your needs against you in a way that's not reasonable and charging you just despicable fees and interest rates because they know you don't have a lot of options.
Yo, speaking of car loans.
Oh boy.
You know the commercial.
What?
I won't out them by name, but you've heard the commercial with the dude like, you could walk away with a foreign.
Yeah, so y'all who live in South Jersey and Philly and a little bit of Baltimore. So I love driving through these states because the commercials that come on, it's this one guy. I would love to meet him in person. It's this one guy. I don't know his name. But he does all of these commercials and he'd be like, you got no credit. We could put you in a foreign. Everything is a foreign. I didn't even know y'all was calling cars foreigns until I started driving through Philadelphia. But everything is like, you don't got no credit. You don't have no money. You don't got no job. It's okay because you can still walk away in a foreign. If y'all can hit us up on Twitter at Momentum Advice, tell me this man's name. I just want, he says it during the commercials.
He's got it on lock.
I just want to put a face to the name. Am I in a foreign? Alan, you're already in a foreign.
I'm in a foreign.
I'm not in a foreign right now. I'm not going in a foreign either in my new car.
Well, if you go down to that car place,
they might put you in a foreign. Listen, like, I thought you were talking about something else. I thought you were talking about Eastern Motors.
These places that have these commercials
on hip-hop
and R&B stations.
Bring your car. You can have. It don't matter how old your car is. We're going to give you $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have no credit.
You don't
have a job. It's okay. You don't have no income. You just filed bankruptcy and we could put you in a foreign.
Yeah.
Listen.
That rate's going to be
if y'all
horrible.
Ever been put in a foreign, please hit us up on Twitter. I want to hear y'all's story so bad. I want to know if this is legit and if this is really working out.
Did they put you in a foreign?
Did they put you in a foreign? Have you ever gone to these specific? His tone and his voice are very, very distinct.
He's very convincing.
And he's yelling.
Yeah.
Have y'all ever been to these places? And have you ever been put in a foreign?
And what was your interest rate that was offered to you? I'm just curious.
74%. Yeah. I'm sure.
I'm sure the interest rate was foreign.
And for
that's
people,
for sure.
Yes, we are saying foreign. But he says foreign.
Yeah.
Like, so they're going to put you in a foreign. He's yelling. It's a lot of echoes.
Yeah. He's like low-key upset. Like, he's like, look, man.
No, he's...
You heard these other car dealers out here.
I'm telling you.
They talking about they could do it like us.
They should have him... What's the name of... I love this guy. Older white gentleman who does the introductions during boxing matches.
Oh, Michael Buffer.
Yes. They should have him to put you in a foreign guy. If he bring me out, I'm hyped.
Yeah.
He will bring you, out. He gonna put you in a foreign. He will hype it up.
Let's get ready to get in a foreign.
Either way, car title loans are extremely predatory. Please avoid them if you can.
Yes.
We understand you may be in a dire situation, but try to find something else. And honestly, as we mentioned in the beginning of the show, a lot of us have probably done at least one of these things at one point in time. There's no shame. I think we're just trying to get you to never do it again, right? Proper planning, strategizing, saving some money, having an emergency savings will prevent you from ever having to do these things again because it's not worth the money that you will have to pay back at the end of the day.
Next is the rent-to-own industry. This is these...
Like errands?
Yeah, these are these retailers that you rent a couch, a chair, a TV, an iPad.
So I've expressed this before. Like, I don't understand how you rent like furniture. And I don't mean like pay down, right? So that's why can't you go to places like Raymore and Flanagan's and like Sears and Ashley and you pay down on the like you put
no, they
that's
have,
a fi- you
they
finance
have financing.
The furniture.
They often have 0%.
Right.
But they give you the furniture now, and then you just got to pay the balance.
Why wouldn't you do that? Why would you rent furniture?
Two reasons. Credit is one.
Oh,
credit,
they check your credit?
Your credit rating. No, they check your credit rating.
But you could.
But one is credit rating. The other is like just financial literacy or lack thereof. Like not understanding that this is not the way you're supposed to do things. Like often we see people doing things, and we just run out and do it.
But I know I've walked past these places before.
And the furniture ain't fire.
And the furniture is used. That's my biggest hang up. Y'all just want to keep sharing the same seat cushions from generation to generation, from hood to hood. Y'all are comfortable. People pay. Like, y'all are comfortable just passing these couches around. You lay down on couches. You fall asleep on couches. You don't know how many ass has been in these couches. But you want to rent this furniture instead of just financing it if you have the ability to do so. Or IKEA's furniture is wild cheap. Like, what you trying to do? I don't know. It is extremely predatory because of the interest rates and because of the fees that you end up having to pay, right? So like, that's the moral of the story. But just from a character perspective, I don't know how comfortable I'd be. Are y'all renting beds?
Probably.
Come on. You can't, I think renting
maybe
a couch.
Not the mattress, but probably the bed.
I think renting a couch is just taking, you are living on the edge
in a way that's not safe. Sit on the floor. Yeah, so let me give you some stats on the rent-to-own industry. There's a place called Buddies. Buddies will hit you for 2 G's for a washing machine that would cost you $500 to $700.
I would say washing machines don't even cost $2,000.
Yeah, I'm talking about a regular Maytag.
Now, do you have to give it back?
Not a foreign, like a regular Maytag.
Do you have to give this furniture back?
So here's the funny thing. So I'm going to give you some stats on Rent-A-Center. So Rent-A-Center is like everywhere, right? They're in 47 states. Rent-A-Center is a $3 billion company, and they specifically target consumers who make $50,000 or less per year and have bad credit. And they reported in their recent annual report that only 25% of the items that people rent, they end up buying those items.
So y'all are giving back 75% of these coffee tables, beds, these coffee tables, beds, sofas, ottomans.
Chairs.
I seen them rent lamps. Y'all rent lamps.
Gaming chairs.
What? Y'all are giving this stuff back. You done sat in it in every capacity.
And paid all of this money. You could have bought 3 gaming chairs.
I just need to understand the rationale behind renting this. Now here's one instance where I can understand renting furniture.
Okay.
Slightly. You're in corporate living, corporate housing.
Okay.
You're only going to be in a spot for 6 months or so. Maybe you're relocating or something. So you don't want to furnish this place with real furniture because you're not going to be staying there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right? Like you don't know what your next steps are. So let me just rent some furniture to have in this place for a couple of months. That to me makes sense. Even though, again, the interest rates and the fees applied to this furniture that you're renting is extremely predatory. That makes sense to me. But just putting it in your crib that you plan on being in after you know somebody that had it in their crib for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And paying all of that money for it.
Yo, I have family members that used to rent furniture.
How did that go?
Not
would you
well.
Did you sit on it?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Did you know it was rented?
After the fact.
After the fact.
I was like, yo, where'd you get all this stuff, man? You doing
could
well.
Would you be, okay, so would you be offended or would you have been upset if you took a nap on it without a blanket?
Would I be offended?
Face, straight face, raw face on the sofa. Would that bother you? If you found out later it was rented, but you had your raw face on it.
Like it's pre-owned, it's been used.
No, pre-owned is different. Like it was rented from a stranger who also did God knows what for however many years with your raw face on it.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't want to be in that situation.
Don't put your raw faces on these on this rented furniture.
Yeah.
So, put a what is it? Plastic. Put some plastic on it.
That's old school.
I'm just saying this whole the whole situation is wild. Like, put some plastic on it.
But you know what it is? People get focused on the payments. Like that's like any industry that is getting you focused on the payments. Like,
but again, you
and not the actual price.
Ashley, you said Ray Moore and Flanagan. Nah, they do payments.
They're doing 0% interest rate, and then if you don't pay it off by that date, then they hit you with 25%.
Okay.
But so you can own the furniture and not make any payments, but you got to make sure it's paid off by that date. But there's all these new companies that are doing these buy now, pay later. Even like Peloton has that lender, Affirm. It's Affirm,
0% interest.
Now, those companies actually are a lot more reasonable than a Rent-A-Center.
0% interest is the most reasonable. Like again, and it's legit. It's not 0% interest in the beginning and then, you know, it goes up later. So like, again, like a firm with Peloton, it is 0% interest until you pay it off. That's it.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
That's a good deal. We're not saying anyone that offers payment plans is predatory. We're saying people who offer these payment plans that are egregious, mm-hmm. especially for things that are not worth the amount of money that they're asking for, that is predatory.
Facts. Other predatory items out there, and this one is everywhere, cash back fees. So you
people
ever go to-
People aren't going to agree with this one.
It's predatory though. Imagine going to Dollar Tree where everything's a dollar.
How you gonna give me cash back on a dollar?
No, I'm saying everything's a dollar.
Okay,
let's say I bought $23 worth of things.
You were in there, you were going off in there. $23?
And they're like, yo, do you want cash back?
Sure.
Not paying attention. You push the button. You don't realize that there's a fee of $1. You just pay.
Oh, you mean when you're at the register and they ask you, do you want cash back? Yes, that is true. I thought you were talking about like reward points. I'm like, does Dollar Tree have reward points?
No, man.
Because I do the Dollar Tree. But no, so you're absolutely correct.
So in that transaction when you took $20 and it cost you a dollar, that's 5%.
Yeah.
That's loot.
Yeah. So oftentimes they do not let you know when you're getting cash back from a retail transaction that there is a fee associated with that.
And it's not every single place. Like the grocery store doesn't hit you with a fee, but Dollar Tree certainly does. Dollar General does.
Listen,
and where do you find these stores?
Here's the thing. It's a dollar. I don't mind y'all hit me with a couple extra quarters on it. I done already saved so much money in here.
But 5% is a lot.
5% like, of a dollar?
I'll put it like this, yo. When we're talking to clients about their investment portfolio, and we talk about the fees that are reasonable, right? Like, when there's a mutual fund that has a 5% fee, we're all over. Like, that's too high. You don't got to pay 5%.
We're talking about a dollar.
Oh, my God.
Listen, Dollar
Yo,
Tree.
It adds up.
I bang with Dollar Tree. You know, listen.
I'm talking bad
I save
about,
a lot of
about
money
Dollar
at Dollar Tree, okay?
But
I
you
think
don't
we've
do,
talked about
the
type of
purchases
I like to buy from Dollar Tree. If y'all want to, you know, get a couple pennies off me, I'm cool with it.
Yeah. So what if you just take $10 off and that's 10% interest rate? But that's like an immediate 10%, Like, if you annualize that, that's hundreds of percent.
I hear you. I don't be in Dollar Tree like that. But I get what you're saying. And again, it is predatory. One, because oftentimes you're unaware. And again, sometimes those interest rates are unreasonable. So just be mindful when you are doing the cash back during your retail transactions. There may be some fees associated with that.
My final predatory lender. Sound. I need the sound, please. Hit me with the sound.
I don't. You have your own sound. Use your sound.
I need your sound. Mm-mm. That's all right. That's the best you could do. Yeah. So fine.
Oh my God. Now it's a game show.
Okay. Tax preparers.
Oh.
When they give you that refund anticipation loan.
This one right here.
Yeah.
This one right here.
Yeah. The refund anticipation loan is.
It's not y'all. Yeah. So Alan's calling it the refund anticipation loan. It's called get your cash return, get your tax return in 2 days, in 48 hours. Come in now and we'll hook you up with your tax return before you even get your taxes.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah. It's predatory. Like there's a stretch in Brooklyn where there are $9 stores all charging the dollar fee for cash back.
It's called Dollar Row.
11 hair salons and 12 tax preparation places. And all of these places offer same day,
why would
next
you
day
nine
instant refund.
Dollar stores next to each other. They're all selling the same thing.
That's where you find the predators, though. Like, the predators, they clump up together in the neighborhoods where they can take advantage of us.
You're not about to call these dollar stores predators. The dollar stores in themselves are
not the
pillars
stores.
Of the community.
The cashback fees is
yes,
the predator.
And it's not just the dollar store that's doing it. So okay. All the stores that's doing it. Shout out to the dollar store for doing what you do for all of us.
So a lot of these tax preparers are getting $400, $500 in fees for people to get their money back in a day when if they just did regular electronic filing, they'd have their money in 7 days.
So this is like one of those ones that's extremely unreasonable, right? You go to get your taxes done, but they've promised you or you want your tax return money in 24 hours. And so they agree, absolutely, we can give it to you. You'll just have to pay 10% or some crazy fee of your tax return. Like, you worked all year. First of all, getting a tax return isn't the best thing in the world. We'll talk about that on another show. But this is money that you earned all year that you're supposed to get back because you paid a bit too much in taxes. And you're willing to give any of it away to some random person because you need it in 24 hours or you just want it in a short period of time. Like, first of all, when you file your taxes, if you put in your direct deposit income, your return comes back fairly fast. I haven't received a tax return in a very long time, but
1 week to 2 weeks
when
is
I was
electronic filing.
Getting them, you know, they were coming pretty fast. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be willing to give that money up. And again, it's not a little bit of money. It's not a $5 or $15 or $50. It's usually hundreds of dollars.
In percentage terms, it could easily be 500% is the interest rate.
Yeah, this is extremely predatory. But again, like, you know what you're getting into. You know that you are making a poor decision around your money. This is what I understand. If you need your money so bad, why are you willing to give it away so quickly?
Yeah. Yeah. No. I used to work as a tax preparer, a retail tax preparer.
Were you doing this?
I worked for a company that did this.
Oh.
Like, but you know what's crazy? In that job, right, there were people that would get their taxes done for free, like at the library or some program. They would come in like, yo, I got my taxes prepared already. I just need you to give me the rapid refund so I can get my check tomorrow. And like, what am I to do?
Wilding on wilding.
Sitting in that seat.
Alan's out here being a predator.
Yeah.
At the bar and at the tax return.
I tried to talk him out of it.
Okay. Well, stick with us. We have more financial predators to talk about. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Ooh, it's the pathway to freedom. It's leading to the North Star.
Hi, this is Ghani Rose, Chief Content Editor here at The North Star, encouraging you to check out thenorthstar.com every day for insightful, engaging commentary on the stories that impact our culture. The writers at The North Star make it our mission to advocate, mobilize, agitate, and disrupt in the name of creating liberation-centered content. We unapologetically center the narratives of Black, Brown, and Indigenous people. We understand that you can get news from anywhere, so we are more interested in offering perspective that speaks to the experiences of our audience. We write freely and with freedom on our minds. We invite you to indulge in our daily editorials and engage in the dialogue that will change the world.
Momentum.
So we are back.
Yes.
We've been
saving
bank accounts and calling out financial predators. And again, as we mentioned at the top of the show, you probably have done at least one of these things before, and you probably didn't think about like the ramifications or how much you were really spending at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And it was a lesson learned. We are talking about these things just to call them out and to say, let's try to avoid ever having to do these things again. Or if you were thinking about doing one of these things, we want you to be clear that they are taking advantage of you. They're taking advantage of your desperate situation. And if you can avoid it, it's not going to be worth it on the back end.
Yeah. And a lot of these, if you can just plan ahead, be a little patient, you can avoid them with just those simple steps.
I think a lot of them have to do with patience. When you think about payday loans and pawn shop loans, like you plan on paying the money back in a fairly quick amount of time. Right? So can you just hold it out a little bit? And again, I've been in desperate situations and sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes I cannot hold out. Something's going to get turned off. We understand that. We're not being insensitive to those situations. We are just saying that hopefully the goal is to not have to be in these predicaments at some point in your life. And if you are, we want you to be aware that they are, again, they're taking advantage of you.
And also, if you find yourself in a position where you need some of these services, that's like a symptom of a greater problem.
Exactly.
Maybe you're spending too much. Maybe you need to get a second job. Maybe you need a side hustle. And in fact, we've got a lot of good advice on side hustles and good ways to make some money on our podcast that you can listen to. But if you're falling victim to some of these, you got to do something a little bit different.
Right. So let's go with 8 warning signs of a financial predator.
Number one. If it sounds too good to be true.
Because I'm going to put you in a foreign. If somebody is telling you you don't need no credit, no job, no down payment, or a driver's license, and they can put you in a foreign, like, it's too good to be true.
Yeah.
And if y'all live in Philadelphia or Baltimore or South Jersey, y'all know exactly what we are talking about.
Tweet us, please.
Yes.
I bet you all sorts of places. Detroit, they got one out there.
But they don't sound like this specific guy.
Oh, this guy.
Gonna put you in a form.
Yeah. Okay. Number two, if the lender contacts you.
Yeah.
So often predatory lenders are using TV ads, they're doing telemarketing, they're doing robocalls. I'm getting like 17 text messages a week right now.
Or they're sending you letters. Like you get those letters and it's like, hey, 0% interest rate, just send this letter back. Like they're contacting you, reaching out to you, asking you if they can give you some money.
Yeah.
That absolutely means like, hey, will you let us make some money off of you? Will you let us make some egregious amounts of interest off of you? Are you open to that? And a lot of times people take it. They're like, oh, I could use an extra $5,000 in credit, or, you know, I can use $1,500 real quick.
So I'm going to read a text message I got earlier today. I'm going to read it word for word, verbatim. Alan, the bank have eased up on their guidelines. First of all, your grammar is suspect. I'm already on high alert, but okay, let me keep going. The bank have eased up on their guidelines due to PPP loans ending and the rates on business financing have been lowered. All business types are welcome with no restrictions on credit score. Is your company in need of working capital today? Give me a call.
Clearly, first of all, this, what?
That's today.
I didn't even hear where the punctuation was. But
no punctuation.
No punctuation. And this is spam. This was a spam text.
It's just a text. Bank have eased up is what.
But I'm saying this is from like someone you don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm getting nothing but these.
They think you need money.
Predatory lending, yo.
Okay.
If they're reaching out to you, you haven't reached out to them. They're texting you with bad grammar, like those chain letters you get about your African prince.
That's, no one's still getting chain letters. But,
I still get those.
Okay. But yeah, if they reach out to you, you should consider that they might be a financial predator.
Put your alert up. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Number three, if the lender is not licensed in your state. Most states require lenders to have a license. So Google them, go to your state's attorney general, and just see if they're registered.
Or just ask them. If this is one of these lenders that have reached out to you, ask them, hey, what's your state license number?
Click.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty simple. But if you're willing to take money, if you're willing to, you know, make a commitment to some sort of loan or lender, you should be willing to do a little bit of due diligence. Damn, like at least just ask, you know, hey, what's your name? You know, what do you do? And what's your state license number?
The last time I got scammed, this is how I knew I was getting scammed. They're like telling me all of this stuff, right? And I'm like, you know what? Let me speak to your manager. And she's like, I am the manager. And I'm like, no, let me speak to your manager's, like your manager's manager then. And they said, oh, you mean the big boss man? I was like, all right, this is a scam.
Yeah, nobody, there is no one within the company who has a title of the big boss man. Okay? If that is the case, hang up the phone quickly.
Another sign of a predatory lender, if the lender is not upfront about the cost, if they're not putting it in writing, if they can't give you an APR.
Yeah. But I think a lot of times people aren't asking, right? They're just giving you this offer that sounds amazing. You know, no money down. We'll get you your money in 24 hours. Just give us your bank account information. We'll deposit it directly in or whatever the case is. And people aren't asking. They don't want to know. What are the additional costs? Can you please run down, you know, on an annual basis, what fees I will be charged? Because they're in some sort of bind or they're irresponsible when it comes to their finances. So they don't want to know.
One of our clients years ago was getting a business loan and we were helping them. And there was this loan program where they would give you the money like ASAP. And then they would just take the payments directly from your bank account. I'm like, hey, so what's the interest rate? And the guy's like, oh, it doesn't work like that. Like, what do you mean it does? It's a loan, isn't it? He's like, yeah, but it doesn't work like that. We're going to take X dollars out every week. They would take the money out. And the client was in a jam. They did the loan. And these jokers went ham taking money out of his account. Like random amounts, increasing amounts. It put them in a way worse situation. So if they can't give you an interest rate, an APR, and it's a loan, that's a problem.
100%. Another sign is if they don't run your credit, if they're not even inquiring about your credit, if they don't do any type of credit check, that should concern you. You should know off top, there are going to be significant amount of fees because they are not going to be willing to take this type of blind risk if it's not extremely profitable for them.
Another sign is if the rate they're offering you just seems too high relative to what you're seeing in other places. Like for instance, like there was a big scandal during the housing crisis where subprime lenders were offering Black people and just people who weren't sophisticated way higher interest rates than you were offering other people with the same credit. And so if you're getting a loan, it's worth it to check around and to see if the interest rate they're offering you is fair, because it's really just a matter of asking. Like the last time I bought a car, they offered me an interest rate of 5%. After some negotiation, I got it down to about 2.2%. And that's simply because I knew that the bank would offer that same rate, or actually a rate that would be a little bit worse than that, but I got them down. So understand what the competition is offering for people with your credit rating.
Another sign, I know we talked about credit before, but if they do run your credit, right, but they're still willing to make the loan, but they're going to just charge you extra because your credit's bad, right? Like typically traditional lenders or more legit lenders, if you don't have good credit, that's kind of it for them, right? Like they're not willing to enter into that relationship. If they're like, listen, you know, your credit's bad, you just got to pay a little extra in fees and we'll still do the arrangement. That's a predator. That is blindly predatory. Like they're making it very clear. They are very blatant that I am going to take advantage of you because you have a poor credit score. And that's not something that you want to do. That's not a situation that you want to be in. And you want to hear these things for what they are. They're not helping you out. They're not doing you any favors. They are preying upon you because you have poor credit. They are absolutely being a predator.
Next on the list is if you're being rushed. If they're saying, look, you got to get this done. If they're calling you all hours of the night about this loan, stay away.
Yeah, especially if they hit you with the, you know, this arrangement is only available for the next 48 hours. You know, So if you don't sign everything, get us everything within 48 hours, it's gone. Like, or, you know, I love the, we got to close this out by the end of the month.
Yeah.
You know, so it's already the damn 30th, but like we got to close this out by the end of the month.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, next month. You know, it won't be available next month. It's a whole new situation next month.
Yeah. And finally, if there are blank spaces in the contract that haven't been filled out yet, they might go back after the fact and add in all sorts of things that you weren't willing to agree to.
Or if there's just no damn contract, right? If they're just like, listen, just send us your bank information, we got you, or whatever the case is. Like, it needs to feel a little bit legitimate, guys. Like, even if you know this is a little bit of funny business, you don't want to just set yourself up to get robbed, You know what I mean? Or taken to court or sued or just be put in a situation that you weren't fully aware of, right? So expect some levels of paperwork that where all the grammar and spelling are correct. As Alan mentioned, there are no blank spaces that require your real information and signature. You know what I mean? Like, make sure the process feels somewhat official just to avoid being taken by a financial predator.
Yeah. And on that note, and this is not in the script, but if you've got a financial advisor or you're being approached by one, ask them what the fees are.
Ask.
Like all the fees. Like, how are you getting paid all of the different fees? Don't leave out a fee. Like, give me all of it.
And then go and do a broker check on them. See if they're actually a financial advisor.
And is their license in good standing?
And that you can do that online very quickly. So it, again, financial advisors, these quote, everybody's a damn financial advisor right now. So you can get scammed very quickly. So those are very easy ways to avoid being taken advantage of by a financial advisor. So that's it. We've been your financial heroes or your financial snitches today, however you choose to view us. But we are proud to do it. We'll be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Momentum.